Okay, our next presentation is Challenges in Developing a New Distance Education Program, Lessons Learned, and Dennis Shannon will be our speaker.
Hi, thank you very much. I'll be talking more about the administrative side of our distance education program, and my co-authors are Dr. Julie Howe, David Weaver, and Beth Gertal, who all teach in our department, and Leslie Keeler, who has provided us instructional design support. So I'll be talking about benefits and challenges of creating a distance education program, and what our experience has been, and some of the problems we've encountered, and lessons learned. The benefits of distance education to departments include possibility of increased enrollment, the ability to serve working professionals who cannot come to class for some reason because they have other commitments. It can generate new revenues, potentially, to the department, and also can increase faculty income. And also, I think on campus, it can provide an opportunity to accommodate students who have trouble getting into a course because of course conflicts. From the administrator's point of view, they see, I would call it online learning, as an opportunity to reduce classroom space problems. However, these two objectives can be in conflict, as you will see later. Administrators fear that distance education will take students away from the traditional classroom and therefore loss of revenue to the central administration because of the either because they're not getting out-of-state tuition or because the revenue is being redirected to the department. Some faculty fear that distance education will lower university standards. You often hear the comment, well, we don't want to become University of Phoenix. So the results are policies that keep distance education in a box and discourages innovation or adoption of distance education. Also, distance education is not cheap. You need instructional design support, IT support, and some technology. It takes effort to convert courses, and so faculty expect some compensation for that. It also takes time to become financially viable, so you need resources to be able to hold through till you get enough enrollment and revenue. So if the right policies are not in place, it's not going to work. So the challenges are to garner resources for startup, have incentives in place for faculty, and to effect the policies at the university level that encourage departments to invest in distance education. And that particularly includes tuition revenue distribution, as well as startup resources. And of course, you need acceptance of distance education, particularly in the curriculum committees that have to approve these courses. So where do you start? I'll give you what we have done. In 2005, before we started, all distance education programs, as opposed to courses, were master's programs. The engineering and business, in particular, had some very financially successful programs. The MBA programs, for example, charge high tuition. There are an occasional undergraduate course here and there across the university, but little growth in either course numbers or enrollments. We've had, since 1997, a fairly good tuition distribution policy, which applied to both undergraduate and graduate courses until last year, in which the offering unit set the tuition rate that they wanted to charge based on their costs of production and what the market will bear. University gets a small fee, which this academic year is $70 per credit hour, and the remainder goes to the offering unit. And it was stipulated that no other fees may be charged to the student. I first got interested when, after I started teaching the course Soil Resources and Conservation, I realized in dealing with NRCS, Natural Resources Conservation Service, who helped us with some of our labs, that they have a lot of staff that don't have a first degree, and I felt my course would be very useful to them to be able to, for these people to upgrade their skills and knowledge. And then in December 2005, our department head brought in some people from University of Florida's distance education program in the soil and water science department. And so in January 2006, we made a decision to go for a graduate degree program. And in fall 2008, our first course was taught online. And by September of last year, we had the approval from the accrediting agency for our graduate degree program. You can see our enrollments have increased over the last three academic years. It's still pretty small, but it has been increasing. The graduate enrollment, though, is in graduate courses, but some graduate students do take undergraduate courses as well. We currently have 8 undergraduate and 10 graduate courses available, if you can include the seminar and special problems. And we have 4 courses in development. And I developed a faculty compensation plan, which consists of a course development fee, a one-time fee for developing the course. If it's an existing course, it's $2,000. If it's a totally new course, it's $1,000 per credit hour, but we've not done that yet. I also have in place a teaching compensation of $75 per credit hour of enrollment each time they teach, to a maximum of $5,000. And we've had 12 of our 17 teaching faculty involved in developing distance education courses. Well, you have to develop a program proposal and get it approved through the system. We start out by identifying the need. We did a survey of alumni to find out interest in our potential program. We had to define our curriculum, which we modeled after the campus Master of Science and Master of Ag or non-thesis degree. But we also felt we needed the undergraduate core courses to supplement. I developed a financial plan, including a timetable of when we expected courses to become online and project enrollment numbers and revenue. And it was very evident to me that the undergraduate tuition revenue would be key to our financial viability. So there's a whole bunch of steps you have to go through to get approval. In Alabama, we have to get approval of the Alabama Commission on Higher Education. Of course, I work closely with the distance learning director in the proposal development. Has to go through the curriculum committees, the president, the board of trustees, and then on to the accrediting agency. I requested $100,000 in startup funds from the vice president for outreach. I ended up with $130,000 startup funds, and the money was used primarily to equip a lecture room and partial salary for a distance education specialist. This shows our seminar room. We installed the cameras to face the front and to face the audience. There's upper right is speakers that are in the ceiling to be able to pick up questions from the audience. Big bank of control panel. As well as in the center, at the lectern, so that either the speaker or someone in the back could control which what is being shown, if it's the PowerPoint or the faculty member or the audience or the scanner. Well, we spent $45,000, and it's really proved to be unnecessary. We hardly use that equipment except for the, you know, recording the lectures. A lot of the faculty record their lectures in their office using a webcam can probably do most of this. Some of the problems we've encountered, insufficient funds to hire a qualified instructional designer. When I started out, I didn't realize the importance of having a strong instructional designer. So the distance learning director and I had an agreement to share the cost of hiring one instructional designer. And the priority was supposed to be on our department. But I discovered later that it was not properly communicated to the person. And as time went on, the instructional designer started spending more and more time working with people outside of our department. And the competing expectations of the instructional designer led to conflict with the director, not only my part, but the instructional designer, and eventual resignation of our instructional design specialist. As Dr. Weaver pointed out, too, that's been a problem ever since. In 2010, just last year, the provost changed the tuition policies, didn't even tell us, and the campus and distance education students were, they decided, would be treated at tuition and tuition distribution was changed and non-resident tuition. So we developed a, what they did is they developed a three-tiered tuition policy. This is for undergraduates only. For a true distance education student, which is defined as not taking any courses on campus, we would get $140 per credit hour. If he's a campus student, we get $116 per credit hour, but that's conditional on showing growth in our campus course. If there's no growth, then it's $0. So the result is it's a cut in our revenue, and it's created uncertainty. When a student enrolls, we don't know if they're a true student or a campus student. If they're a campus student, we don't know if we'll be compensated or not. In addition, non-resident tuition is three times the campus tuition or the resident tuition. There's quite a high registration and proration fees, and the result is this semester is reduced enrollment. And most of the students are campus students that are taking our course. So our financial viability is in jeopardy. We may have to shut down our program. We've taken some steps, and again, I've not included some of the issues we're dealing with trying to hire an instructional designer. That's another problem. But the college has tried to negotiate with the provost office, and that failed. We got a new interim provost, so I tried to arrange a meeting. We were turned down. So I've written to the provost and that saying that our program will have to close at the end of the semester unless we are grandfathered into the old policy, and that is presently under consideration. So our fate is unknown. But let me just give you some lessons learned. You need startup funds. You need a competitive tuition and fee structure so that students will choose to come to your university. And tuition distribution must be such to provide sufficient revenues to cover your costs, especially for staff. Faculty need to be rewarded both financially and in terms of professional recognition. And you need instructional design support, and I after this experience, I believe strongly that that should be located in the offering unit or department and responsible to that department. I think that, you know, universities should be encouraging departments to become entrepreneurs. And administrators need to talk directly with those managing distance education programs instead of going through layers of hierarchy. I believe that with these things, we can be successful. And I'd like to thank you for your attention.